What's up, everyone? I'm very excited about this episode of the podcast with Ashley Miller, Director of Community Relations with National Breast Cancer Foundation. We dive into her humble beginnings in Louisiana and how she made her way to Frisco, Texas, where she has really become one of the most influential figures in the community, and her heart speaks truly for itself. So hope you guys enjoy it and looking forward to hearing your feedback. Cheers.
This is the Tomas Show, your source for personal and professional development.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tomas Show. Today, my special guest is a dear friend of mine, and I feel like it's almost a student is coming to a master with all her radio shows that she has done and her community presence that she has in Frisco and Collin County. So I'm just very thankful that I'm in your presence today, Miss Ashley Miller.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to finally be on.
So, and I apologize it has taken me so long, but you know, it's I feel like it's been coming at me so fast, and there's a lot of people that are contacting me, obviously, also to be on, and I'm trying to provide something also of merit and the right structure. So, so I know Frisco is obviously an important component of the podcast, but I want to make it more a community oriented, you know, DFW oriented, North Texas oriented, not just Frisco, because I think we are all one family, one community. And I think the broader we go, the better landscape it is. So
yeah, you've done a great job. I've been really impressed with the content that you've had so far. I think the subjects, the individuals that you've had on, it's been really helpful. I feel like every single time I tune in, I'm learning something. So thank you for that.
Of course. No, it's honestly, it's been a joy, and I'm learning from guests just like yourself. And so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm excited to put your story at the pedestal of attention. I feel like everybody knows you and their mom, literally, but specifically here. But I think you accredit that because of your tireless work, what you do for the community, and how much time you've lived here and worked here. So I want to dive into a little depth in that regard. But I want to hear first about your humble Louisiana beginnings. Yes. So how, tell everyone, we all know you're an LSU fan and the Saints fan. So how did it all start for you in Louisiana and brought you to Texas?
You know, I grew up in West Monroe, Louisiana. It is a very, very small town, kind of north central. And just loved it. I was, you know, Cajun by the grace of God. And it's just a very different demographic of people, especially since Katrina. I mean, the people that are there are people that want to be there. You know, that city isn't even at 100% capacity yet. And so it's just a different type of people. They love where they're from, and, you know, they rep their city like none other. It's good food. It's humble beginnings. It's like I said, it was just a real small kind of podunk town. I mean, we didn't have a lot, and I never knew that. I thought we were millionaires. You know, we never did without. And I'm the only child. So it was my mom, my stepfather, and myself, and decided actually to go to LSU, applied to LSU, got into LSU. And about 2 weeks before, my dad wasn't doing so well health-wise and ended up passing away. And so I made the decision to stay in Monroe and go to the University of Louisiana at Monroe for college. And honestly, it was just supposed to be kind of a temporary thing. I thought, well, you know, I'll stay home with my mom, only child. You know, it was a pretty traumatic time in my family. But I really just wanted to kind of stay home for a couple of years, work full time, be able to take care of her. And I ended up staying all 3.5 years. I actually graduated a little bit early. And graduated college on a Tuesday, moved to Texas on a Thursday, Frisco specifically, and haven't looked back since.
Wow. And, you know, what year was this when you moved here?
2009.
So 2009. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was some financial services experience to begin with, or not?
Yes. Yeah. So when I was in Monroe, I actually worked full time at JP Morgan.
Yes.
And enjoyed that. I did that for a really long time and really never knew that the financial sector was anything that I had interest in. But I really took to it. You know, it was a fun way to, we had one bank by the one mall in town. Mm-hmm. And so I got to see every change order that came through, every small business owner, you know, and it was really just a fun time for me to really get a little bit of sales experience under my belt, get some financial services under my belt, and really learn a lot, not just about what I wanted to do, but quite frankly, what I didn't want to do in that world.
And how was that journey? You know, as you found out what you don't want to do, how were you able to get traction of, you know, the pathway that you are on today? Because you obviously worked, whatever you go, whatever place you touch, you turn it into some type of impactful, I mean, not only organization, because it already is, but just it's just this light that is coming through the like never before. Almost there's so much heart coming in through it because you pour all your soul and you know you're always 110% in. And every organization, as I've watched you grow and progress in your career, I feel like that has been very something that stood out to me. So how was that, you know, transitioning from financial services? How did you find the right path?
You know, that's a really good question. And thank you for all those kind words. I appreciate that. I really think it kind of stems from an upbringing of, you know, you have to be good enough to do everything without being too good to do anything. And so, I mean, there were certainly times at JP Morgan where, I mean, I'm a full-time college student trying to graduate early. I'm the only child, really doing everything I can to support my family. But then I was working full time. And, you know, there were days I didn't want to be there. But I'll tell you, the thing that I learned was JP Morgan was phenomenal about putting out sales campaigns. And they paid their employees very well. We were incentivized to do, you know, the absolute best when it came to those campaigns. And, you know, the world is very different now. Most of the time you walk into a brick and mortar bank and you don't even see a teller anymore.
Yes,
it's kind
yes.
of a, you know, a robot, you know, if you're lucky. But we had so much interaction with our customers. And for me, that was a life lesson in learning what they needed. So one of the things I took a lot of pride in is I never offered anybody any type of checking account, savings account, investment opportunity that they would not benefit from. And to that end, you know, I really did a lot of due diligence and research into those financial campaigns to know the ins and the outs about them, because I knew I was the youngest kid there. You mm-hmm. know, I knew that I was, you know, a female. It probably looked to a lot of these older businessmen in that town. And to keep in mind, small town mentality, you know, they walk in and here's this 18-year-old blonde trying to tell yeah. them how to invest their money. And I knew that. And so I just would dive in and I would be 100% in. I would learn anything and everything I could about those campaigns so that I would not only have the knowledge, but I would have the expertise to really do something that didn't benefit me from a commission standpoint, didn't necessarily benefit the bank, even though I was ride or die, but truly benefited the client and the customer. And because of that, I mean, they were loyal, right? I mean, if you can open a checking account, you can probably open a savings account and you can probably do direct deposit. It and so on and so forth. I mean, what really seemed to a lot of people is just a sales job that they weren't comfortable with, for me, was truly an opportunity to enrich people's lives by helping them invest in a smarter, better way.
So it sounds like, and what's very clear to me, your work ethic was developed very early. And I feel like in today's day and age, as different organizations look to hire for talent, I think one aspect of the career that you cannot teach, really, and I genuinely believe that, is the work ethic. So where do you think that comes? Because I think, and I genuinely mean that, top five probably hardest working people, and I mean that, and you're a mom, you're a wife, shout out to Justin, obviously.
And Finley,
of course, but it's something that really stands out. It's not just a social footprint that you put at people's display, but, you know, whatever you go, whatever you are, I feel like there's an impact being generated and created. So how did you go about, you know, that developing that work ethic? What type of values were instituted to you early on, and who do you credit that to?
You know, so my parents actually got divorced when I was 3 years old, and my dad moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I come from a railroad family, so my family has always, in some capacity, every single family member has worked for the Union Pacific Railroad. And that's really, really, that's a hard life. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad was at corporate, so he was kind of the behind the desk job, but was just so instrumental in a lot of the processes and a lot of the kind of background things that make the railroad operate effectively and efficiently. My mom worked on the railroad. My grandfather worked on the railroad. I have aunts and uncles that have worked there. But then oddly enough, when my mom remarried, she married someone who worked for the railroad. He was an engineer. So mm-hmm. the opposite side of that, think overalls, think John Deere hat, you know, boots,
for sure.
Literally drove the train. And so I grew up in, you know, in a house with him where he might be home for a day, gone for three. I remember at one point he was stationed to be gone for long periods of time. But prior to her remarrying, it was just my mom and I for like 8 years. And we had just a really tiny apartment. Again, a world where I genuinely did not know that we didn't do without. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, come hell or high water, my mom found a way to make it happen. And, you know, there's kind of two things I'll say that stick out from a work ethic perspective. I can remember, every single day. So my mom worked multiple jobs, right? I mean, just so that she could make ends meet. And babysitters were hard to come by. We don't have a very big family. The family that we do have lives elsewhere. And so my mom found a way to trade product from her job to be able to get a babysitter. So it was a product that the babysitter needed. She would exchange product. And that was kind of my first experience to see like kind of a business deal mm-hmm. and how, you know, now in the world of nonprofit, maybe an in-kind donation, whatever that might be. But she actually hired my bus driver. So every single day after school, he would run the entire route. And when he got to Cherry Street, which is where we lived, where the apartment was, he would take me to the Come and Get It, which was a gas station on the corner. And we would sit and he'd buy me a bag of Doritos. He'd buy me a Coke and we'd wait for my mom to get off work. When she got off work, he would drive us to the front door, drop me off. I mean, we're talking 6:30, 7 o'clock some nights, but I thought it was the coolest thing. I mean, I had a school bus to myself, and looking back on that, you know, my mom could not afford to pay him, but she certainly found a way to make it work. Another thing that I'll tell you that sticks out to me was, you know, growing up in a town where, again, we didn't have the right last name. We didn't have a lot of money. But, you know, my mom wanted to make sure that every day when I went to school, I was proud and I was dressed well. And, you know, that and being a mom, I understand this, you know, that whenever I leave, I look put together. I'm clean, you know. And I remember this was around the time, and you probably remember this, where Tommy Hilfiger was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Everybody had the brand. Well, we certainly couldn't afford that. And so I remember waking up in the middle of the night. My mom and I had a huge fight about name brands and how I didn't understand why I couldn't look like everyone else and why I couldn't wear what everybody else was wearing. And, you know, just kind of went to bed mad. And got up in the middle of the night, actually just to get a glass of water, and happened upon my mom in the living room. And she was hand sewing a Tommy Hilfiger patch to make it look like the brand, and then was going to iron it on to a shirt for me, just so I did not have to look different, feel on the outskirts of anything. And I will tell you, I mean, I may have been, gosh, 7, 8 years old at the time. But from that moment forward, I never asked for another thing. And there was just something about the mentality that it was 2 a.m. and she would be willing to do that for me, that I thought, okay, life lesson, I will always be that person to everyone else. I will certainly be that type of daughter to my mom. But then most importantly, if I want something that is as superficial as a patch or as a logo on a piece of clothing, I will work for it and I will go get it myself. And it seems crazy that something that insignificant, you know, and to this day, I don't even know that she ever knows I saw it. You know, I woke up the next morning, she told me she was able to find me a shirt. She bought me the shirt. And, you know, for till the end of her days on this earth, my mom will believe that I thought that that was a legit shirt. But she has no idea probably the life lesson she taught me from that moment.
So I think those, you know, those life lessons, the stories, the humble beginnings, you know, living in an apartment, you know, in Louisiana, I feel like I can certainly relate. And I, you know, I feel like in a lot of ways I see myself in you a little bit, because we do a lot of things similarly, I think, for our respective organizations. But I think the biggest thing that I see is that you have a level of appreciation because of what you've been through, how you were raised, what you've experienced. You come to Frisco, which is I mean, we need to say this, very privileged community. Yeah. I think, you know, people here have everything literally at their disposal. And I think when you come from a background like yourself to come to this area and see what you have, I mean, you would be silly not to take advantage of what this community has to offer. So I think that's exactly what has happened. And I see it in you because I see it in myself too. I remember my parents were visiting and, you know, they came to the Star and it's just like, it's almost like a different world, right? Like we are living in a community where median household income is 130 grand. Yes. So I think all those lessons you've carried, with yourself until today, you don't forget where you come from and you carry yourself with level of humility. I think you pride yourself for your work because you work your tail off. And I think as a result of which, because of these values that have been instituted to you early on, there's just you know, no doubt that if somebody gives you a job or asks you to do something, the job will be done and exceeded. Mm-hmm. So you know, and I don't know if necessarily community understands fully what type of value you bring in, because I see you a little bit as a, how do I articulate this? Like you're this, not only a community advocate, but if you think, I think if I needed a contractor or someone that anybody needs, who comes to mind? Like some of the two or three people in Frisco, you're certainly one of them, and you're always available. You always make yourself available. You help people, you refer ton of business without ever expecting anything in return. And I want to ask you something in that regard. How has that experience been to you? Because I know that your time is valuable and I'm very grateful that we're sitting down today, but how do you navigate through all these messages and channels and people trying to earn your time and perhaps, get referred to someone or earn an opportunity to get a piece of business? How do you navigate it? How do you make those selections? Do you just help everyone and everyone? I mean, your time is obviously the most important thing. So how do you filter that?
You know, it's a great question. So my, you mentioned this, I'm a mom, new mom, 17-month-old baby. And it's been interesting to kind of see just really the evolution of priorities. You know, family should certainly always be first. I've been married since 2012. So, I will tell you this, people ask me that all the time. How do you do it all? How do you do all these things? And, I think the first thing is you have to value the word no. You have to understand and have realistic expectations of what you value and what's important to you. And I don't think until I had my daughter that I realized just how much that would be my favorite title. You know, it's interesting. This morning I was actually getting ready and I'm sure this is your world, but I had to decide, okay, like which name badge am I going to wear today? Right. Nah. I mean, it just after 10 years in Frisco and boards and councils and committees and just all the things we're blessed to do. I mean, there's a lot of name tags. And I sat there and I was thinking, you know, if he asked me something about this, the one thing that I want to say is hands down, my favorite name badge that I've ever worn is mom. You know, there's just nothing in the world like it. But to answer your question, I mean, I genuinely from the depths of my soul try to meet with everybody all the time. A really good lesson that I learned working for Donnie Nelson and for the Texas Legends mm-hmm. organization for the years that I did, you know, they really were big on be careful with your time, be smart with your time. You know, they always kind of wanted to point me in this direction to go after bigger fish and to go after sponsorships. And really, I've learned that my bread and butter and my heart and soul really just was with the people. It didn't matter to me if it was an executive at, you know, a Fortune 100 company, or if it was a mom and pop shop, it was genuinely just with the people. And we kind of had this, this number where you could call in like an info line. And there was this Mary Kay lady that just kept calling in and calling in and calling in. And, you know, I love Mary Kay. I rep Mary Kay. Yeah. I think anybody that I meet with knows that no matter what their business is, I'll try to support them in some way. I've done, you know, the wraps, I've done creams, I've done, oh God, whack, anything and everything under the sun. I will try to buy your product and support you if I can. But this lady kept calling in and nobody really wanted to meet with her. You know, they're like, she's going to try to sell us lipstick or this or that. And I said, well, I'd love to meet with her. You know, if nobody's going to do it, I'd be happy to. Well, come to find out, you know, as a multitasking, hardworking mom, this lady had started Mary Kay like 20 something years ago. And guess what? Just happened to be an executive at a Fortune 50 company. And when she heard a little bit more about who we were and what we did, that turned into be one of the biggest sales I ever made in the history of that organization because I took time for the lipstick lady.
Yeah.
Right. And I try to carry that. I mean, Frisco gets smaller every day. I think as I've had different transitions, even into different industries, people have been very loyal and they've kind of followed me. And I'm so appreciative of that. But I think that that comes back to answering your question in that I really do try to make time for everybody all the time. You know, I try to support their business. I try to show up to their events. And I can't always do it. I'm not always 100% perfect. But I think that's when you really have to focus on effective and efficient, you know, communication, where if you can't make an event, if you can't buy a product, you know, be very vocal with them about it. You're better at this than anybody I know. I mean, if I, you know, lend you a pencil at a meeting, I get a handwritten thank you note. Thank you so much for the pencil. You have no idea what it meant to me, you know, or utilizing social media to tag people or to help grow their business. You're better at that. I mean, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but I will say you're one of the few people that will actually practice what they preach when it comes to that. And so I think if you don't have time, you make the time. And if you absolutely can't, you find other ways to show gratitude through that process, just so that those people remain loyal. I mean, I think friendships and partnerships are everything.
No, I agree completely. And I've been in Frisco 2.5 years now. It's going to be almost three. So it's nowhere.
It's flying by.
It's nowhere near 10 years, obviously. You know, you've been here for a long, long time. So I want to, and thank you for what you've been saying in my regard as well. What in your tenure here in Frisco as a resident, as a employee working for various organizations, what do you think you remember the most from the moment when you got to the community and how it looks today?
You know, I think that we, I'm pretty partial to our mayor, but I think that we have kind of a council and community leaders in place, certainly a mayor, that while we want to make sure Frisco continues to evolve and grow, they also want it to be a place that has a small town feel. And that's what I love about it. I mean, I am probably one of the biggest advocates of the Frisco Chamber of Commerce that you'll ever meet. And a lot of that stems from those small to mid-sized business owners that are in that room on Thursday mornings. Just, you know, their commercials, their 30-second elevator pitches to grow their business. But you've also never met a community like Frisco that supports one another when they need it most. I appreciate you saying, you know, that I'm a good referral source and that I can, you know, kind of have somebody for anything, but that comes to, you know, that's credited to years and years of sitting in that room. You know, I never missed a Thursday morning. I tried to never miss a council meeting and, you know, I regret that I can't do that all the time now. But I think that the Frisco Chamber of Commerce, and it doesn't hurt that it's in the rail district at the heart of the city. But I think that it's that band of individuals that have really kept Frisco to, you know, again, while it's exponentially growing, that small town feel just doesn't go away because you've just got this big group of people that are the heartbeat of the city. And, you know, when people like that, no matter how small or large their business may be, when they're showing up to everything all the time, they're giving of their time, they're volunteering, they kind of become the face and, like I said, the heartbeat of the city, and the people make it what it is. So that's what I've enjoyed.
I completely have empathy for what you just said, and I really appreciate you sharing that. You know, I remember when I got to Frisco, I think that was one of the best experiences I've ever had because it was just such a, and it still is, it's just such a vibrant community full of, you know, people that are really passionate about what they do, want to make a difference, want to be involved in the community. However, I think all that being said, over time, I think you just kind of, you know, just like anywhere else, you have to, I think, be very careful to your point. Like, you want to be a mom, you want to be a wife, family comes first. So you have to be careful. How do you spread, you know, your availability and who you make yourself available to? What type of commitment do you choose? So how has it been for you, the process, you know, of saying no? Because that has been, I'm sure, something that has been increasing tremendously. There's different requests, people asking for meetings, trying to sell something. And you have a big heart, and I know you want to help everyone, but I mean, there has to be some type of a strategy. And I battle with that myself, because I get requests, and as much as I want to help, sometimes, you know, if there's no merit behind it, if there's no level of personalization, it's hard to address it in some capacity. Yeah. So how do you decide where to engage and where to kind of forgo?
You know, I think it all comes back to surrounding yourself both personally and professionally with people that are better than things than you are. I will say in my personal life, Justin is just a rock star. I mean, we divide and conquer on a daily basis, not only when it comes to parenting, but just household duties, the dogs. I mean, those four-legged creatures were our babies before we ever had a baby. But you know, I've got an event tonight. So, we switched daycare duty today. Little things like that allow me to, be able to put more energy and time and focus into my career. And I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, saying no from a professional standpoint, I think it comes back to, for me, I just surround myself with coworkers, with, members of this community, where if I have to say no, and if I can't be somewhere, I'll send somebody who can, you know, or I'll know somebody who's attending so that I can get a debrief on that and not only feel a part of it. I mean, that's my FOMO, fear of missing out. Yeah. I hate missing anything ever. But you can't be 10 places at once, and I understand that. But you know, certainly here at National Breast Cancer Foundation, I always try to find a way, if I can't attend something, for someone else to go in my place, especially if it's something that we see value in. But then again, if and when I can't, I do my best to always do a lot of due diligence after the fact to see who attended, just to understand so that I can, you know, not only feel like I didn't miss out, but certainly be able to contribute as needed to whatever event, you know, I've may have missed out.
Yeah, I feel like if you miss an event, I feel like your ghost is still there, because yeah. it's present and like very, very much there with all your friends and people. And then you get tags on social media, even though you're not there, but you're there.
Isn't that the best when you get credit and you're like, I'm not even there, but
it's insane.
You.
Like when I first got here, it was one of the, you know, it was kind of when I got to college, and like you're an athlete, and you know, Facebook era got started, and everybody just add each other on Facebook, and I was like, what's going on?
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, I guess I have to embrace it. So I just admire, you know, people like yourself, because I know it's not easy. Yeah. And people look up to you as a resource, as an advocate. They seek your time because they know your voice is important. It's powerful. You've earned that right over time. And I feel like, you know, and I just hope, when I remember you meeting for the first time, I always knew that you have genuine intent in everything that you've done, and you always wanted to help. There was never this, I guess, you know, you were never reserved or like, oh, well, I need to feel him out if he's about business or if he's not, is this a two-way street? It was always, it just glued for us.
Yeah.
So it always just worked. And you know, I hate to see sometimes when people, you know, really, it's almost like in real life, they're a person A, and then in business, they're switch, and they're person B. Like, okay, who am I going to be this morning? I know you're not doing that, but you get the analogy. So it's just,
that's tough.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I, you know, being in this community, I feel like I'm getting more and more, every day grateful just for the fact that I'm being here because of people like yourself, because of, you know, Kevin and your organization. I feel like we need organizations like yours in this community, because it's who the community represents.
Yeah. Agreed. I wanted just to touch on one more thing that you kind of asked me earlier. You know, you said briefly, you mentioned you don't want to stretch yourself too thin because you don't want to go to these events. You don't want to be a representative of your organization when you're not giving 100%, you know, or when you just don't have any gas in the tank. I mean, you always want to be well represented both personally and professionally. I think another thing that's been really valuable to me and that I really think that people should spend a lot of time focusing on, and I know that you do this and you may or may not even know this, but you're definitely one of these people in my life, but surround yourself with people that love you enough to tell you when you're not at your best. You know, am I a workaholic? Absolutely. Does that translate from my job to motherhood, to being a wife, to being a caretaker at home? 100%. I mean, I am zero or I'm 100%. There's no in between for me, right? And I think it's really valuable to surround yourself on a professional standpoint with mentors and colleagues and friends that will say, you just need a break. You know, you work Saturday and Sunday, take a couple days off during the week. Or, hey, you don't seem like you're in your A game. Or, hey, I know you're really overwhelmed right now. What is it that I can do for you? This exact instance happened to me yesterday. Rebecca Buell, our CFO, who I'm so grateful and so blessed to do life with, you know, she's one of the few people that just quickly, like you, went from just friend to family, you know. But we were in a meeting and she knew how much I had on my plate and she knew that there were a lot of things going on. And she was the first person to say, hey, I know you're stressed. What can I do? What can I take off your plate? What is it that you're stressed about right now in this moment? How can I help you get from here to here? And, you know, just lighten your load. And you have to have that sometimes, you know. And in the same vein, there's probably been instances where you've seen me at an event or something and just been like, are you okay? Like, you don't seem like yourself, but you need that. I mean, that goes back so far beyond, just having somebody to look out for you. That's humility, right? I mean, what a humbling experience for somebody just to say, hey, maybe you should go to sleep for a couple of days. You know what
but
I
even,
mean?
But even if we say that to you, you still don't listen.
Well, but I do. I try listen. I do. I try to listen, but just an important life lesson. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people think that mentors, or just kind of for professional guidance. But I think people don't value that a lot of that professional guidance is just somebody knowing you and knowing you well enough to say like, hey, take a step back, you know, take a break. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think I remember I was being last year, I think I was sick and my boss, he was like, go home. And I'm like, nope. Right. So it's one of those things that you refuse to, like, you know, but yet people know you, people know what ticks you, and they know when there's something going on, so they're trying to help you. So obviously you're very appreciative for that. So I want to ask you, you know, with your career, with the legends, with obviously very tenured, very successful, now you're here at NBCF, you know, what's some of the, I think a lot of people look up to Ashley and they wonder what is Ashley grooming herself to become? What do you think is your vision? You're very passionate about the community. You're creating an impact wherever you go. But I always wonder, like, you know, are you going to be a business owner? Are you going to be, you know, like a chief philanthropy officer or something? I mean, there's so many different titles. I think it's not about titles, obviously, as much as about the purpose, but I think that would suit you so well. So what does that look like in your eyes?
You know, I would love to tell you. I mean, I think if you were to say, what's your 5 to 10 year plan? What do you want to be when you grow up? The only thing, there's really three things that are extremely important to me. One, that I am God-fearing and I serve the Lord with all my heart. Two, that my family and my friends are first. I think that's the most important thing in the world, is that I do everything to honor and glorify the Lord, but by being the best family member and friend that I possibly could be. But then three for me would definitely be just my community. I want to be able to give back to my community, whatever that looks like. You know, spent some time in the credit union sector. I truly believe that core processing system was the best core processing system in the world. And that's why I was able to sell it the way that I did, you know, moved into sports, knew that we had a product like nobody else in the entire league. I would argue both on the minor league side of things and on the professional side of things, because I believed in the product, the experience, I was able to sell it. Never had a passion to just jump into nonprofit, even though I've been here for 2 years. And I know that we're the best at what we do. Not only is nobody else doing what we're doing, but we do it better than anybody else. So I can sell it, right? For me, the thing that all three of those jobs enabled me to do was to give back to my community, whether it was through a product, a service, an experience, now a resource to people who need it, you know. But it allowed me to be out in the community and to continue to network and to build bridges and to connect people. And so as long as I'm able to do those three things, and to be quite frank, in that order, and I'm able just to be a member of this community, I think the sky's kind of the limit. I think it remains to be seen.
Those are some of the incredible, obviously, values and principles that guide you. But I mean more from like, you know, even leadership perspective. I'm a big fan of diversity, big fan of women. Like, I love everybody to get equal opportunities, you know, in different areas. And there's one of the leaders in our community that I really admire is Barbara Fasola.
Yeah.
And I with Carrington, shout out to Barbara and Ken and Carrington, obviously. But, you know, she is, I see a lot of you in her a little bit, because she's very...
Thank you for that compliment.
No, it's true, because I think, very vibrant, very charismatic, very warm and full of heart, very giving. All those qualities usually translate, you know, into leadership in some shape or form, sooner rather than later. So I know your level of humility will not be able to say that, but I sense it, and I'm like taking early credit for it. Like, at some point, however your career will develop, I just know that a lot of people will be very grateful at some point to call Ashley Miller her boss.
Well, I appreciate that.
Because, you know, you just you have those qualities of the leader, and I see it. They're very... They stand out. It's not something you necessarily teach at times. Certain qualities and credentials could be taught, but in this capacity, you already have it. It's a given. Nobody has to push you to do it. So I feel like that's coming for you sooner than later. And on that note, I want to ask if there are any leaders out there that you kind of, you know, follow perhaps, or that inspire you. You know, what are some of the figures that you look up to?
Gosh, you know, I feel like that list is a mile long.
Yeah.
For the sake of time, I can tell you, at my very first job in Frisco, I worked at Fiserv. That's F-I-S-E-R-V. Yes. Everybody always thinks it's the pharmaceutical drug company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we were on the core processing side of things. Specifically, I was in the credit union division. Oddly enough, could throw a rock and hit it from my office now. It's so fun to think 10 years later, I'd be working across the street. But one of my bosses there was a man by the name of Albert Koo, who was a ULM graduate, believe it or not. And he was the first person that looked at me and said, "You will be on the revenue generating side of things." He said, "I know that doesn't make sense to you now." He said, "I know that's not your current job." And he said, "And I can also tell you that's not what I hired you to do." He said, "But you will be someone who generates revenue for a company."
But you know what they say about revenue generating salespeople or folks attached to the revenue stream. You know what
this is?
They become successful business owners.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a vision in me that I didn't even have for myself. I would say somebody else that kind of challenges me in that way is Peter Burns. I know you
yes.
know Peter.
Yeah. He's the most connected person in the world, and he stands behind the commercial Nokia, by the way.
There you go.
He's
going
to have a good laugh about it, but I love Peter, yeah.
He just is somebody that, you know, I knew a little bit before Leadership Frisco, class 19, best class ever,
yeah.
Plug. But, you know, Peter just always kind of, he always saw something in myself, and he does this every day. He did this week to me, in fact. He has the ability to see something in me that I can't even see for myself. And he's always challenging me. You know, when I was blessed to be appointed to the board of directors for the Frisco Chamber of Commerce, I thought, I'm on the same board as Peter. We're finally going to be doing something together. I was just selfishly more excited to spend more time with him. But what's the first thing that he says is, "Okay, what's next? So now what are you going to do? You know, I mean, he's somebody, his checklist is never done. But the amount of love and effort and energy that he pours into people, I'm just so grateful to have him, you know. And honestly, I would also say, Jeff Chaney, you know, really good friend, small business owner who's been extremely successful in this community. Some of the ways that he really helps balance me and humble me, honestly, is just from a personal standpoint. I mean, Jeff, all of his kids are in Frisco ISD. He lives in the same house. He gives back to his community. Again, somebody else, or I don't know how they do it all between him and his wife, Dana. But, you know, no matter how successful he may be or what title he holds, he always brings it back to those humble beginnings. He bleeds Frisco, you know, and I feel like in a lot of ways I'm the same way. And so, you know, again, it's a list a mile long, but those are probably the top three that come to mind.
So obviously, and I love those names. Obviously we all have those lists, but I'm just curious because we always, I think, have people that we kind of aspire to, or perhaps can relate with in, you know, smaller or larger capacity. So, As we both know, we're very passionate about the nonprofit, nonprofit environment. And mm-hmm. You've mentioned, you know, about Frisco ISD. There's a lot of kids in this region, in this geographical area. And most recently, I was able to go to Wakeland High School and was fortunate to speak to some students. And I'm curious. You know, and in their eye, there were, I could just see like, okay, what can we do, you know, to steal 1% of that information and perhaps take it to our advantage when we're Tomas's age, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There, I know that there's I know that there's a lot of daughters. There's a lot of ladies, young ladies, Frisco ISD. You know, we also have obviously college education representation here in town as well. But there's a lot of girls that probably see you on social media, see you in a community, not only teenagers and college students and you know, millennials, but I think also older that aspire to be, you know, a version of you. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a fact because I can just see it. I say it repetitively, but I study body language and what people do and how they act around you. What would be one piece of advice that you would have specifically for those young women that, you know, want to have a glimpse of a career that Ashley Miller has developed?
Gosh, that's so nice. Can you just walk around and introduce me all the time? I have to call you every day so you can just make me feel like good. That almost made me cry being a mom of a daughter. I think it always boils down to integrity. I think that no matter what job I had, what position I held, what my title was at that particular point in my career, my life, you just have to stay honest and true to yourself. There have certainly been times in organizations where I felt like I maybe was deserving of another title. Certainly not from a pretentious point of view or even a label, but more just because of a job description or workload or work ethic, you know. There have been times where, especially now, just kind of in the world of social media, where people have asked me to stand for something or represent something that just didn't feel true, didn't feel right, you know, kind of in my gut, my head, my heart. And that's one thing, looking back over every position that I've had, every community, all the community involvement that I've done, is that it always was about integrity to me. I wasn't afraid to say no when it didn't feel right. But also I just tried to really align myself with people that understood that and valued that. And, you know, one of the shortest jobs I ever had was because I looked up one day and, I didn't work with anybody that shared those values. And I think you just have to stay true to that. And I think you can never go wrong, no matter, you know, how hard or complex your job or your day or your task may seem. If at the core of it, you can wake up every day and go to bed every night being proud of what you've done because it aligns with your morals and your integrity, that's certainly something I would never regret.
That's awesome. No, I feel like, again, there's a lot of people Looking up to you here in this community. And I know there's men, there's women. When you had a child, the freaking social media blew up. I felt like Facebook is going to shut down. So it's just, it's great to see it. And I mean it because that means that you had an impact. You're engaged, you're loved. I think a lot of people mistake social media for kind of attention grabbing, which it is. But I think more than anything, what you do, in my mind, is you engage, you build communities, you build frameworks that complement what you do on a daily basis. And I think for that reason also, the Legends and now NBCF has been put on the map significantly. So I think that's, I know I'm complimenting you, but I always say it, it's I observe, I may not say a lot, but when I see it and I mean something, I will articulate it to you because somebody perhaps may not.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So
it means a lot coming from you.
Oh no, it's that. just a dear friend that just speaking the truth, to be honest. And you know this. So I want to ask you one last question before we have to wrap up because Miss Ashley Miller has all these commitments and she has to run. As always,
preschool Easter egg hunt, mind you.
Yeah.
The power of saying no, though. I did turn down a business meeting for that, but she's my priority.
No, it's I hope that Ashley and I, my fiance, we are obviously getting married. That I hope we become, a version of parents that you guys are, and how you balance your responsibilities and how Justin fills you in and you can still do your job. I have no doubts that that's what we will do, but it's easier said than done until you have a child. And
well,
then hey,
you're well on your way though. You're well on your way. We love you guys.
Question, Ashley Miller is, I know she's also constantly, she's a learner. She's not only a learner of people. She's not only, gaining valuable experiences on a daily basis through people that she interacts with and learns from. What is her favorite, where is Ashley Miller's favorite source of information? How do you like learning? Are you a visual person? Do you like YouTube videos? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you find sources of education on social media? Because in a lot of ways, people try to replicate perhaps what you do and become a version of you. So what do you think would be that one source that you can't replace?
I would love to pretend like there's just one way that I get my news, my education, my enrichment. The one thing I can tell you is I'm very much a learner by writing, by note-taking, by touch, by highlighting. So I am never going to be someone that has a Kindle, is it the Amazon Fire?
Yeah.
Like uses the Bible app, right? I mean, I am somebody who needs to hold the book, fill the book, take notes in the book, highlight the book, date the book. I always grew up as a learner that I was a note card person. I needed to write things down. I needed to say things outside. I'm a repetitive type learner. But also just being present. And then I think one of the greatest ways that I kind of can do that, I ask questions. I mean, I love learning. I am the type of person, if we go to eat, by the time we leave, I know everything about the waiter. I know their family history, their likes, their dislikes, just anything and everything, because I love to invest in people and learn about them. But the same is true just for worldly knowledge, for sports knowledge, for, professional knowledge. I just love asking questions. And I think really for me, one of the greatest ways that I've learned everything is by, again, surrounding myself with people that know a lot more than I do and investing and asking questions and learning from them. If you look at that from, a personal standpoint, those are my parents. If you look at that from a faith standpoint, that's my pastor. I mean, I was never going to be the person that sat in the congregation on Sunday mornings. I go to lunch with my pastor. We double date with my pastor. Like I love learning about him and learning from him because it makes me better. When it comes to my career, looking back at every job I've ever had, the executives at those businesses were my friends. They were people I did life with because not only were they people that made me a better person, but they were my mentors. And so I really think for me, it's all about just investing and not being afraid to ask questions, and then kind of a collective mindset of all of those things. I have the CNN app. I still read the newspaper. I love holding a newspaper.
Me too. I love it.
You know, local publications between Lifestyle Frisco, Community Impact Newspaper. I mean, these are some good, knowledgeable
good publications
sources,
for sure.
But I like to hold them.
Yeah, no, and I think that's just coming where we are coming from. I love the newspaper aspect of things. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah.
But I think something that you touched upon is just you cannot replace human interaction. Yes. I feel like, you know, and I'm gonna wrap up on this. I think one of the biggest in my mind, we talked about your work ethic, we talked about your passion, your dedication for the community, but you, because you developed so many relationships that didn't come just overnight, you had to dedicate the time to sit down with every single one of them, to visit over coffee or help them with something or lunch or events or whatever. So I feel like you've learned from so many people, but you've also afforded yourself to build these relationships because you went for it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I feel like you did not have this internal fear or perhaps reserve, like, oh, I shouldn't do it, or maybe that's not for me. You just kind of go for it. You know, and you kind of
sink or swim.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like you're doing it a lot. You're touching a lot of hearts, and the time that you put in is definitely paying off. So I hope we get more Ashley Millers in Frisco. I think, you know, your star is shining bright, and you know, it's been an honor to sit down with you today, get a little bit of a, you know, some insights, some background, you know, keep up the good work that you're doing. And you know, I look forward to you know, friendship, long-term friendship with you and Justin, and looking forward to see how Finn is going to grow.
Uncle Tomas and Aunt Ashley, I can't wait. You guys are going to be such an intricate part, and you already are such an intricate part in her life. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I mean, I couldn't mean it more when I say what it means to be on your show, just to sit back and watch you do all the amazing things that you're doing, and to get to be a small piece of that. It truly is the honor and the joy, you know, of my heart. I just am so proud of you and all the things that you've done. And I think the greatest joy has been just seeing you, in your personal life. You know, you guys have a beautiful home. You're about to have just an amazing wife. I couldn't have dreamt for somebody better than you, this new family that you're going to have.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, your success is just going to continue to mount. So congratulations. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you. I think I always have a hard time taking compliments. So I'll just say, how about both of us are just getting started.
Fair. Dream team.
Dream team. Dream team. All right. Cheers, Ashley. Appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to The Tomas Show. Please subscribe and share.
What's happening, everyone? Hope you enjoyed this episode with Ashley Miller. Please let me know what you think. And if you would like to connect with Ashley, definitely reach out to her on LinkedIn, because she would love to hear from you. Looking forward to catching up with you guys in the next episode on Monday. Cheers.